Today's story reminds me of a Korean man, billionaire, who spent his entire life to accumulate his wealth, yet didn't have chance to enjoy it. While he was dying on his deathbed, he was surrounded by family members and friends, and he hurled his fist toward heaven in bitterness. He wailed out one word 3 times in a row. Money, money, and money. And he expired. Now, there are many people out there who are rich in their bank accounts and wise in their own eyes. Yet in the sight of God, they are poor and they are even foolish. There are many out there, others, who may be poor in their bank accounts, yet very rich in the eyes of God. And that's what we are going to think about this morning. Now, before I go further, I'd like to ask you to draw your pencil or pen out. And once again, we're going to go over today's text. I'm going to ask you to circle certain words that you could follow along with my sermon. I'll read one more time through the entire text, but I'll tell you which words we're going to circle. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Verse 15, and he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Circle 3 words, not, life, and possessions there. Not life, possessions. Now, right next to the life, write down 2 new words. I'm going to spell it for you. The first word, Zoe. English name, Zoe, Zoe. Also, the second word next to life, Bios, Bios, Bios. Verse 16, and he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?'" Circle, store my crops. Then he said, "This is what I will do." Circle I. And from then on, whenever you see the word I, circle it. "This is what I'll do," he said. "I'll tear down my barns," circle my. So circle I and my from now on. "And build larger ones, and there I," circle it, "will store all my grain and my goods." Verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool,'" circle those 2 words, "'this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself,'" circle, "'stores up for himself, and is not rich toward God.'" Circle the entire phrase, "not rich toward God." In today's parable, Jesus warns us against greed, every form of greed. He also reminds us that our life, your life and mine, the life that truly matters eternally, does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Finally, he also commands us to be rich toward God, not for ourselves. So you got the whole, you know, just the text of the sermon here. Now let's listen to Jesus carefully, who is talking about who is indeed poor before God. And after that, we will consider who is then rich toward God. I'm going to present to you three types of people who are very poor before God, in the sight of God. Number one, he who demands everything must revolve around him is poor before God. The one who demands everything must revolve around him is poor before God. You can call self-centered. Everything is from me and through me and for me, declares such a person. Everything is mine. It is my life and my body and my money and my house and my car. Mine, mine, mine. Sounds familiar. If you especially deal with a toddler. Such a person may also claim, I achieved everything with my own wisdom and strength. Such a person may forget and even contradict what God's word says about his achievements. It is the Lord, the Jehovah God, who gives him life, health, and strength and wisdom to achieve all things in life. If you're a student of the Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Israelites by then are ready to enter into the promised land. So through the mouth of Moses, Jesus, you know, God speaking to the people of Israel, when you settle in the promised land, when everything goes well, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth. The one who is self-centered is poor before God. On the day when his soul is required of him by God, such a person will have a rude awakening. The second type of people, a person who is very poor before God, is this. The one who is good at laying up, storing up wealth for himself, yet fails to share with others. I asked you to circle how many times the words either I or my repeat in just two verses, 18 and 19. Let me read it one more time. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, and it goes on. Several times, I, my. Now, don't get the story wrong here, because today's story is not about God's cruelty to the rich man by calling him home before his time. Neither is it about God's depriving the man of enjoying his life to its fullest. Rather, the point is that the man was only interested in his own well-being, neglecting that of others. I don't see any sign that he really cared or interested in sharing his wealth with others. The problem of being rich is this. It may blind you from others' needs because everything you need is just all taken care of by the money. And it turns your attention to yourself. And therefore, it may leave no room for you to share your prosperity with others. In fact, the wealth oftentimes leads the rich to apathy or indifference, if you will, to others' needs. If you remember Scrooge, the one who doesn't share his wealth is very poor in the sight of God. The third type of person who is very poor in the sight of God is this, the one whose eyes are fixed only on the life of material possessions, on the life of physical merriment, simply called pleasure. Such a person is very poor before God. Here I want to draw a distinction between two Greek words, both of which are translated into the same English word, life. So what are they? The first Greek word you wrote down on your paper, zoe. Z-O-E, but it's pronounced in Zoe in Greek. As you said, English name Zoe, some of you know, coming from that word, simply means life. The second Greek word for life is bios, B-I-O-S. That's where all these English words beginning with B-I-O, biology, biochemistry, you name it, pertaining to life. Now in verse 15, when Jesus talks about life, The life that does not consist of abundance possessions is not bios, but zoe. Now, we all understand everyone needs the both. You have bios, so do I. And God cares about it, and God provides them both to us. However, there is a fine difference between the two. So what's the difference? Listen carefully. I'm going to explain to you. The bios life is all about biological and physical well-being. We sustain the life of bios by rest, proper diet, and regular exercise. Now, in this life, spiritual aspect is no concern. In bios life, people are concerned about what to eat and what to wear. In this life, folks pursue pleasures, as I said, and comfort, saying, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Bios life focuses on things on earth, and it lasts 80 at most, the Bible says. It's the life most people live out daily for the rest of their lives. And those folks who pursue the lifestyle of bios only, neglecting the other life, zoe, is poor before God. Now, the zoe life is different. It transcends physical aspect of one's existence. It surpasses mental and emotional well-being as well, and it promotes, first and foremost, spiritual well-being and contentment. By the way, I'm going to talk about contentment next Sunday. Now, this life, zoe, prepares us for heaven, folks. And this is the life Christ talks about and promotes in your life and mine. If you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted Jesus saying, "You are Son of God, you are all powerful, why don't you turn all the stones on the ground into bread?" And Jesus answered, "Man, humanity, shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's the life Jesus talking about, zoe. It's a life far more important than bios life. Remember in today's text what Jesus says? The life of zoe does not consist of abundance in material possessions. In other words, even though you are not a millionaire, even though you live from paycheck to paycheck, you can still have zoe. On the other hand, in the same token, even though you are a billionaire, it doesn't mean that you automatically have zoe life. The life zoe and its wealth comes directly from God and His word and His character. Here are some examples, such as love, joy, peace, righteousness, gentleness, forgiveness, and kindness, and contentment, and so forth. If you have all these, you are filthy rich in the sight of God. Now, this zoe life sets its focus on things above, the Bible says, and those who pursue zoe life think and say and act with their eternal life in mind. Once again, we need both bios and zoe in our daily lives. However, zoe is far more essential than bios. What's Jesus' message here? Do not miss zoe in the pursuit of bios. Those who do so, Jesus calls you fool. You read it. You fool. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of my sermon time on this time, who's then rich toward God? You can simply say the opposite of all three you just mentioned. You got it right. The first one who is rich toward God is this. She who knows God and trusts Him that He will provide her daily needs is rich toward God. This is the one who acknowledged that God is the source of everything, especially that of all good things and blessings in life. This is the one who also relies on God's strength and wisdom, not on her own. It is the one who does not worry about tomorrow because she believes that the Heavenly Father already knows, therefore will provide her needs according to His riches in glory. Who's rich toward God? The one who trusts in the Lord. The second type person who is rich toward God is this, the one who shares her wealth with others. This one says to others, let us, let me share, instead of it is all mine. Some of you remember the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. He was the head tax collector in Roman times back then. And once Jesus visited his house, and Zacchaeus was so pleased and so thankful that this is what he told Jesus, Lord, I'm a tax collector. If I ever cheated someone, I am going to pay back four times of the amount that I cheated on that person. But furthermore, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Jesus didn't say a word about any possessions or material things, but he volunteered to share his half of his possessions with the poor. And Jesus was so pleased, and he declared that salvation has come to your house today. Who is truly rich toward God? Those who are willing to share their wealth. Don't get me wrong, it is nothing wrong to be rich in possessions. However, God's material blessings always come with a certain tag on it. It is never meant to be exclusively contained in your bank accounts or exclusively enjoyed by yourself only. It is always meant to be shared with others. It is all right for you and me to be rich as long as we remember what the blessings are for, as long as we remain content with our basic necessities and share the rest with others. Some of you heard of John Wesley. He's the one who started this Methodist denomination in the 18th century. He once said, I quote, make all the money you can, save all the money you can, and give all the money you can. Wesley practiced what he preached. By the time he died, he was not a poor man, folks. He owned a bookstore in London, and he made a lot of profit out of it. He was a rich man, but he practiced what he preached. By the time he died, he had given away all his wealth, not to the family members. He didn't have any children, but to the poor. The best part is this. When he died, he left in his will, hire 6 homeless men, in those days called beggars, on the streets of London. 6 men, homeless men. And give each one of them £1. £1 in the 18th century, it was huge money. And let them serve my pallbearers. So those 6 homeless men served with dignity. They didn't think, you know, this is not free money. I work here and you pay me. So that's how John Wesley practiced. The one who shares his wealth or her wealth is rich toward God. The third type who is really rich toward God is the one whose eyes are fixed on the life in heaven, Zoe life, not on earth. This one considers life is more than food and clothing. She pursues and lives out Zoe every day. She demonstrates the heavenly wealth such as love, joy, peace I mentioned before. And she enjoys God and enriches the lives of others by sharing her blessings with others in many small ways. For example, let's say you bring a smile to a family member, a coworker, or a church member, and you are rich. Her eyes are fixed on Jesus, and her mind is set on things above and not on the things below here. And what she is most concerned about is not a few years on earth, but the eternity that she will spend in the presence of God. The one who pursues Zoe life is rich toward God. Don't be a fool to God. I don't want to be a fool to God. Do not judge your wealth with bank accounts, folks. Judge rather with life. Share the blessings with others, not only the material possessions, but also love, joy, peace, patience, mercy, kindness, and gentleness, and faithfulness with others. Jesus' command is very simple. Be rich toward God, not for yourself. Let's bow our heads and pray. Many a time, Lord, I feel we are so bombarded with the message from the world. You gotta have more. You deserve. Do everything possible you can to collect and store up, lay up all the treasure for yourself and enjoy. I think that's the message we are constantly bombarded with. So a lot of people follow that message. But when you stop, when we stop and think what Jesus is telling us, be rich, not for yourself, but toward God. How do we do it, Lord? By setting up our minds and hearts on the things above. Make all the decisions based upon the eternal perspective and share with each other. In my humble opinion, how God measures our wealth and richness is how much we give, not how much we collect. Thank you, Lord, for that great, great wisdom. Help us to abide with Him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.